Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Corinthians, and we're in chapter 13. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. You need to understand it's about them. Your job is to be there for them. It doesn't matter whether they're there for you at this point. That stuff comes. If you give, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You have to be there for them. And that's an important thing to remember, because as you go through your Christian life as a married couple, you're going to find out that your flesh is going to be provoked on many levels. And so what's interesting is he says, you got to have all these things for yourself. You got to have all these things for other people in verses 1, 2, and 3. You got to have all these things for the kingdom of God. And so he then brings it to a fine point by saying in verse 4, love suffers long. He started with that, right? Suffers long. The Greek word is makrothumia, and it means to be patient. You have to be patient. Long in patience. And I think that this is very important for us, because as you ponder it for a moment, you don't really have a zeal to put up with somebody else. It's not something you have a zeal for unless there's a reason for it. Think about that. Sometimes you may have to deal with, well, changing diapers and getting up at 3 in the morning, not so fun. Gonna need some patience for that, right? And that's what I'm talking about. There's a goal here. First of all, there's the beauty, the wonderment of childbirth and the new life in your hands. But there's also the payoff. Now, this is key to my overall thought as I'm coming to you today. I want you to remember something about your mate. Jesus loves them more than you do. And Jesus is there for them. You cannot be Jesus to them. All you can be is connected with your Savior in such a way as you see that it's going to be all right, ultimately. And you take that personally. And when they're really tweaking you, you begin to say, okay, they've got their idiosyncrasies. And it's not to say you lay down and take every tweak. I mean, sometimes you have to have a conversation. But the conversation has to be disimpassioned. It can't be in anger. If you go in anger, you're going to get anger back. There's got to be that self-control that says, you know what? This really is not a good thing. I need to have a conversation, and I need to get myself in a right disposition to have it. Now, that's easier said than done. It's like riding a bike. You're going to fall off. You're going to skin your knees. But you're going to learn as time goes on. You don't want to do that over and over and over again. What is it they say? Somebody who repeats the same behavior expecting a different outcome? That's called insanity. You're not going to get a different outcome. Okay? You need to love. You need to agape. You need to pour out more on them. And when you do that, then God is on your side and in your corner, and you can have the peace to know, I did what I was supposed to do. I can't control them, and I can't change them. It's like many times the couples get together and they're thinking about getting married, and many times it's like, how did this happen? This guy, what's she doing with him, or what's he doing with her? And sometimes it's because people have all these hopes that somehow it's going to be better and they're going to change them. Well, you better start closer to your mark, because you're not going to change them. Only God can do that. You can pray for them and they might change as time goes on, but you can't change them. And if you think you are going to, that's a goal that's going to be blocked every time you turn around. He says, no, you're going to have patience. Love is patient. Now, the only way to have patience, truly, is to have an expectation that this shall pass. And biblically, we know that. Even if we get in a marriage that's very tough from the beginning to the end, throughout decades of life and time, we're going home one day. And when we get home, it's going to be all right. Each one of us is going to stand in the deep carpet for our own stuff, and that's what you have to remember. And love understands that. And love also understands that I'm doing this for Jesus. Okay? I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm loving my mate for Jesus. And bless God, He made it the best thing in the world if we do it right. Right? I mean, this is awesome. Marriage is awesome when it's done right. I mean, most of us in this room have been married long enough to know that there have been times that were really tough. And then there were times where you were able to laugh together again. And when you're able to laugh, you have a friend. My sister, my spouse. My beloved, my friend. Those are the ways the various two in the Song of Solomon speak of each other. My beloved, my friend, she said of her husband. Isn't it nice to have a friend? Isn't it nice to have that camaraderie, that sister-brother relationship, as well as that spousal? Because what it is we're on this journey together. We are joint heirs together of the grace of life. We get to see it, and we can talk about it. We do care. We do see. We do feel for others. And it's funny, because for our children, they can bring something to us that hurts us very deeply, and we take it. We don't say anything. We bite our tongue, and we try to figure out a way to get under and help. And we need to extend the same courtesy sometimes to each other. We have to be patient. There is some hope on the other side of the traumas to come. The Bible says, verse 4, charity suffereth long and is kind. There's a nice basic word. It means exactly what it says. Kindness. It goes on and says, love envieth not. Now, the word envy is interesting. It means to boil over. It's the word zeal, zealous, means to boil over, but it can be for good or for bad. But here, obviously, it's about not being overzealous. And the tendency for us is to be zealous for ourselves, which then becomes a bad thing. Because now I'm envying. Why is it you get to do that? Why is it that you get to be that way? How's come I can't? And you take it as a cause. No, he's wanting us to be mindful that you don't want to boil over for evil. You don't want to get so ramped up that it brings out something in you that is unseemly as a believer. We may be jealous for our own plans, but we've got to remember the person on the other side of our zeal. I want to kind of reflect with you for a moment on this, because it is interesting to note that the Scripture oftentimes illustrates itself. Okay? You maybe recall when Paul and Barnabas were in their missionary journey and Mark, Barnabas' nephew, went with them. They got to a certain place. It was kind of a coastal place. They went to Cyprus, and Mark got all worried because it was a little hard. It was hard. And Mark turned back and went home. Well, after that missionary journey ended, they went back to the hub of their ministry, and they picked Mark up again, and Barnabas wanted to take Mark with them, and Paul said, no way. And the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas had a contention that it says was so sharp that they departed asunder one from another, because Barnabas wanted to take Mark and Paul said, no way. It was a very sharp contention. And what happened there was one of them wanting to do something that the other one didn't want to do. Paul didn't want to take him. Why? Because he had a plan. It was God's plan. And I remember Chuck Swindoll talking about this years ago, and he said, who was right? Was Paul right, or was Barnabas right? Paul was jealous for the plan. Barnabas was jealous for the man. And he concluded they both were right. However, there was a contention here. It was not a good testimony, even that Luke would write about it. It was so sharp, they parted one another. And I've come to the conclusion that really, when you see how it all panned out, Paul has to say, bring Mark, he's profitable for me. He was wrong. We don't like to say Paul was wrong, but Paul knew he made mistakes. He said that I want to do, I don't do. He knew that. And he was jealous for something. Now listen, sharp contention will happen. But the ability to go back and say, you know, I was wrong is important in those cases. But we want to avoid that, don't we? We want to realize the chief defining principle of the Christian life and life in general is love. You have to make much of other people. If you're making much about you, then you're going to stumble, fall, and be disappointed. It's when you give, it's when you pour out, it's when you care, it's when you're kind, it's when you smile at somebody and don't frown. When you realize that the nuances of how you look at them are important, when you realize that when the Bible talks about the marital relationship, one of the things that was amplified in the Song of Solomon, we went over that in my Sunday school class this morning, is that she had dove's eyes. She was a safe place. She wasn't scowling or giving an angry eye. But it also says, she said he had dove's eyes in one occasion. He said it a couple times of her. But she said he had them too. You can't be always on guard and protecting or attacking or getting them before they get you. That becomes a loop in a marriage. And really, folks, many times marriages end up that way. Folks, listen, we're looking at a day where we're so about me and my and I and my rights that we've forgotten that really we've been called to suffer. We've been called upon to care. We've been called upon to literally bleed for one another if need be. Greater love hath no man than this, and that they lay down their life for their friends. So you lay down your life for that spouse. You lay down your life for them. And Jesus does that for us, doesn't he? I'll tell you, that's huge. And if you want to know how to make your marriage work, it's going to be in one word, love, love, love. Verse 4 says, it vaunteth not itself. It means it's not boastful. This is an interesting word. The word, I'm going to give you the Strong's definition. It means to boast oneself. It means to have a self-display employing rhetorical embellishments in extolling oneself excessively. Do you know what that means? That means if I ever feel like I have to say, well, what about me in the argument? And if I have to somehow put on airs like, well, I've done so much. No, stop. When you hear the word I coming into it, you have to be careful. Say, you know, what I need to do is I need to say we, because we're a team. We're trying to figure this thing out together as a couple. We're trying to figure out how I can be better for you and you can be better for me. And I'm going to do what I can to love you. And sometimes I need to just allow you to be you. You know, there's two bears in the Christian life. Forbear and bear with. Right? Sometimes you have to forbear, don't say anything. Doesn't need to be said. You don't have to correct every little nuance. You know, it's funny, sometimes there's one person's more educated than the other and they like to correct the other person's English. Now, that may be okay in certain circumstances. You don't want somebody to do it all the time and eventually get out there and sound like they don't know how to talk at all. But if you're doing it all the time, knock it off. Okay, just don't do that because nobody likes to be corrected all the time. We have to be careful. Because we are stewards of this grace of life. The Bible says in verse 5, it does not behave itself unseemly. Does not behave itself puffed up in verse 4, unseemly in verse 5. Now this word has the idea of to behave in a way that has no shape. Now you didn't see that coming, did you? It's a Greek word, askimas. If you know anything about some of the teachings in psychology, they talk about everybody has a schema, and they have a little file that they put things in, and they say, okay, I always identify this with that, and they've got it in their schema. Something breaks the schema, they don't know what to do. And what he's saying is, love does not behave itself without purpose. It doesn't behave itself without decorum and without elegance. And as believers, we are to understand that you have a purpose in your marriage. Your marriage and your relationship is supposed to have form, function, purpose, and it needs a guide, and that's Jesus. Without that guide, you're going to have breakdowns on so many levels. Ultimate breakdown would be divorce, but it's going to break down. Communication, the Bible talks about in Proverbs, better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling and a contentious woman. You say, I hate that verse. I get it, ladies. I'm sorry. I didn't write it. Said three times in the book of Proverbs, but it's there. And there's something to be taken. You take it, you ponder that. I'm not here to put that on you, but the point is, what happens is everybody goes to their corner. And if everybody's going to their corner, something's wrong. It's true, isn't it? Because what happens is maybe they don't want to come home. Maybe they want to drive around and go to the store for a while because they just don't want to. Listen, that's a problem. It's a little symptom. It's not like, you know, critical mass. Things aren't going to explode right now, but there's something there to be pondering. What can I do, you know? I mean, don't just read a book, slam it shut when they come in and go to bed. You know, that's crazy stuff. We got to figure it out. No, there's form, there's function, there's purpose. And if you want the nuts and bolts of it, you know, the Bible says that a man is supposed to love his wife, giving honor to the wife, right? And why? Because she's a weaker vessel, and as a weaker vessel, she's still, nevertheless, a joint heir of the grace of life with him. So there is some purpose here. There's a schema, and we need to endeavor to get there and find out how to execute this thing in a way that is pleasing to the kingdom and pleasing to our Father. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.